Everyone has a story. Everyone travels a road. Some of those roads are paved, some are gravel, some are a combination. Some are superhighways. Some of us have met with sharp turns, intersections, and delays. We travel at different speeds to different destinations. On this podcast, we talk about your road to now. Welcome to Your Road to Now. Today I sit down with Liam Caswell. Hi, Liam.
Hi.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you inviting me.
Maybe you could start off and just kind of give us a little brief about you. Just to, you know, start off for where you kind of went to school, where you're born, raised.
Totally. I've been pretty fortunate to say that I've been born and raised in Kelowna pretty much my entire life. So I moved here when I was 2 years old. Myself and my sister, who's 2 years older than me, we were raised by a single mom. And I've gone to school here, and the turn of phrase that I've always been using for people is I'm in Kelowna by opportunity, not necessarily by choice, although I'm very, very fortunate to be here. So I went to high school, I went to OKM here, graduated high school, took a little bit of time off, and decided that I wanted to start going for my Bachelor of Arts, but didn't want to go to the UBCO right away. So I started at the Okanagan College, just on KLO Road there.
Mm-hmm.
Did it for a couple years. Decided it wasn't for me, and I didn't want to finish my Bachelor of Arts degree. And so took a little bit of time off and then started a entry-level job at Disney Interactive the end of January 2011. And so I was there for a little while. And after about 2 months of being there, I realized, oh, the business environment is definitely for me. I think this is a good fit. So at that time, I looked at what business school was a better school. And for me, the Okanagan College was just a better fit, opposed to the university. Although I hear now that it's a really prestigious business program now. But at the time, it was a no-brainer. So I called the college and said, hey, any chance my 2 years of arts credits could be transferred over? And they said, you pretty much have to start from the beginning. So I said, all right. And I worked full-time at Disney and did part-time school for the 6 years that I was employed at Disney. Got my degree, and I think literally 2 days after walking across the stage and shaking my dean's hand for my business degree, I walked into my boss's office and I said, I'm looking for the next sort of step and opportunity, and if it's not here, no harm, no foul. I think it's time for me to look for some greener pastures, and that's what happened. So I sort of hit my ceiling there, and then I eventually transitioned over to a project management role at a local startup, and did that for about a year and a half, and that went into a cash crunch mode. So my department was laid off, and then I found another position also locally as well, where I am now at Player GG. So I'm the project and operations lead.
So that's another startup?
It is, yeah.
So you're in all kinds of startups. The Disney one was obviously a big deal. That was the Club Penguin thing before Disney. So were you there when it was Club Penguin? Or
like, yeah, I was there when Disney had already bought it. Yeah, so I joined when...
joined Disney Interactive then.
That's right. Yeah, okay. I joined Disney, and I joined when they said, oh, the demand for this product is huge, and mm-hmm. we need a lot of people.
Right.
So I joined when I was, you know, entry-level support role. I was answering emails, answering phone calls, just doing pretty basic, you know, moderation.
So that was a cool job at the time, because
Club
Penguin was a pretty cool thing in Kelowna at the time.
It's crazy cool. And and literally, I mean, as I said, I started in 2011. It's coming up to, you know, 10 years ago now. It's been now 9 years. And having Disney on the resume is never a bad thing. I mean, they own half the planet at this point. They own over 50% of the media empire in the world. So it's really, really cool to say that I got the opportunity to work there. And the culture and the way that I was trained and the way that I learned business culture and the way that I learned how to build a team and how to work on a team are fundamentals that I still carry through to this day. It's some of the closest people in the world to me were I met at Disney. It was a great place.
So what were you were on the phone doing support. Is that kind of where you stayed, or did you move up in there?
I moved up. I was very fortunate to be given a few opportunities. So I did just entry-level support for almost about a year, and then eventually went into this new role, which was monitoring the quality of the support emails that were being sent out. It was like a quality assurance type of individual type of role. Did that for about a year, and then a team lead, a management position opened up, and I applied and was fortunate enough to get that role. And then I did that for the majority of my time there. And then for the remaining 2 years, I was a senior manager. I got another promotion and started doing some higher level projects and working with some various teams.
Yeah, the Club Penguin store is amazing.
Yeah.
We had Lance in here just probably a couple of weeks ago. We did a podcast with Lance, and obviously you know Lance.
Yeah.
And he's the guy that drew the the first penguin, right?
Love it. Yeah.
So it's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. He's what an intelligent group of, I mean, it was three guys that really got together and said, let's make a difference. And
it's a huge success story for Kelowna, for sure, and one that's kind of international, too. So not too many cities get to say they had Disney kind of come into town and employ, I think Lance was saying at the height, 1,000 people close to worldwide or something?
Yeah, give or take. I actually just recently had lunch with a good buddy of mine in a previous, we both worked at Disney together. He said he heard the most recent statistic. I think it was over the course of its run, over 1,200 people, came and went through there. And now many people either got experience from Disney and now went to other employers in Kelowna or started their own companies.
Yeah, it incubated a lot of other startups, obviously. Right?
And what an inspiring thing. Yeah. I mean, I think that that's so cool. Even not only starting the company, but then, you know, laying it out for the next generation of startups.
Because Lance has Hyper Hippo.
That's right.
And then his brother has Two Hat.
That's right.
Yeah, so I'm sure there's a lot of other ones out there as well. Yeah. So you ended up at a different startup. What was that?
I ended up at project manager. I was doing project management at Disney to a degree, but I then left for a startup for a project manager title and role, which was at In-House Video. It was primarily a video marketing company.
Okay.
So we worked with clients all over the world to help them use really basic technology like smartphones because of how advanced, you know, HD phones can be now, and help them use, you know, promotional marketing videos and help them shoot it on a remote level. So keep costs really, really low, churn videos out very, very quickly, and find ways in which they can kind of optimize their reach in that way, post it on YouTube, post it on LinkedIn, what have you.
Right.
Yeah. So I did that for about a year and a half.
And now you're with?
And now I'm with PlayerGG.
And what does that do? What's PlayerGG?
Primarily, it was founded by these three guys that were out of couple out of Armstrong, and one was in the States, and they came up with this idea to create a giveaway platform, primarily in the esports and gaming sector. So any company that wants to be able to grow their reach in a hurry, be it Twitter followers, YouTube subscribers, or what have you, you can use our platform to host a giveaway completely legally, equitably, and the whole thing.
Right, so people have to follow or like or something like that.
Exactly right. In exchange, very similar, like in a practical sense, I always tell people, like if you're walking to a store and you put your business card in a jar, it's that, but on an exponential scale.
Right.
So follow me on Twitter and you can enter your name 500 times as opposed to just one. And depending on how they want to scale it and weight it, the host of the giveaway can customize those entries however they see fit. And we found some like crazy growth from some big companies that have really been appreciative of our work. So we're continuing to kind of drive into new revenue models and opportunities, and we're going to another seed round right away. And we've got, we've got a really lean, primarily Okanagan-based team, but we've got some people kind of all over the place.
So how's that lingo in the startup community? There's always, you know, unicorns and the angels and startup, and I don't know, all the different kind of like lingo.
Right.
And you're kind of plugged into that? Plugged in? See, there's another buzzword. Eh?
Yeah. In a way I am. I mean, I'll be honest, sometimes there's like 80% of the terms with respect to the startup world and seed rounds and angel investing and stuff goes way over my head.
Right.
But as long as I'm looking at it and going like, great, where are we at? Where's our runway? What are the next objectives that we're trying to do as a company, and what do we need to get to? Then I'm usually pretty happy with it. So
us older business guys, we have those old traditional words, right? Like financing. Something like that. You guys got like seed rounds and unicorns and stuff, and, you know, cooler. I mean, it's all the same business principles.
But it really
is. It's kind of like, I guess, cooler words.
Yeah, really, so. Yeah, I guess so.
Is there a place where people go to hang out and kind of like trade stories or something like that if you're trying to get into the tech, startup tech community? Like if you're a young guy like yourself, like, is there a place kind of where people kind of gather?
Yeah, in all honesty, I mean structure, there's a couple places. The first that I would say is you can go to the Kelowna Slack workspace. It's completely, you know, there's no password or anything to enter.
Right.
I think you just need to get an invitation from an existing person. And that's a great way to just get yourself immersed in the local community. And that can be anything from jobs to local meetups, startup drinks, whatever. But another huge organization that Player was previously a part of, we actually have a shared desk down there, is Accelerate Okanagan as well. They're recently under a new CEO of Bree, who is amazing.
I know Bree, yeah.
Yeah, and she's absolutely fantastic. I know a lot of the people that work there. That is a wonderful organization to be a part of. Even if you don't want to be a part of it, you just want to go and visit and just shake some hands and talk to some people, it's the place to be for sure. And that's at the Innovation Center downtown. So great location. It's in a really centralized location as well. And I think in that Innovation Center alone, there's got to be at least a dozen different organizations of startups and otherwise more established companies of people that are just coming and going all the time. So it's a great place to kind of get yourself having the right conversations.
So you're not too far removed from high school, I take it?
I graduated in 06, so 06. I like to think it's a bit of a distance, but yeah.
Depends how you look at it, right? Yeah.
Fair enough.
What would you say to the kids in high school right now, like that are kind of like looking at the tech startup community, like go to school, don't go to school? I know you see a bunch of stuff on the internet where people say don't waste your time in school, and then there's some people that say schools. You know, I say education is never too heavy to carry around, but what would you say to them?
I'd agree with you completely. I come from a family of academics. My mom has her degree, my sister has her master's. I'm maybe will explore my master's at some point. My partner's defending her master's in the next month or something like that. So I will always be a big advocate for it, especially as someone that did it the way that I did it, which is mm-hmm. I was started do part-time school and said, well, I still want to be employed. So that was actually mm-hmm. an interesting kind of dichotomy I had when I started my business education in the fall of 2011. Was I started at Disney and I said, great, I've got the work experience, I've made it, I can now mm-hmm. you know, work up in here and grind, and that's great. But I didn't want to just have that as the only thing on my resume, and I said, you know what, I kind of want to get the academia and the theory behind what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's good, so foundational knowledge.
Exactly. Yeah. And thankfully there was a lot of what I learned in my schooling that I said, I can literally implement this at work tomorrow if I wanted. So I'm a huge advocate for education as a whole. But if there were some tips I were to give kind of a younger generation, I would say networking is surprisingly more effective than you think it is. I think it is very, very difficult for people to kind of get themselves out of their comfort zone and go, I have to go to a startup and event or whatever it is. Accelerate Okanagan hosts a few and what have you. And I don't really know many people. Like, great. It's usually minimal cost to go for tickets. Some of them, most of them are usually free. You just show up, shake some hands with some people, bring a friend, what have you, to keep yourself a little bit more comfortable and grounded. But if you just start shaking hands with the right people, you'd be surprised that when your resume comes across, when they're looking for people of your skill set, they're going to go, oh, it's that person that I met at such and such event, and they put a face to a name. It's incredibly effective, and I can't promote it enough. I think it's huge.
Networking is key. Getting comfortable, being uncomfortable is kind of a thing that people should look at.
Hugely.
Because if you always play in your comfort zone, you won't expand your world.
Without
so
a doubt.
To say.
Yeah,
and
without a doubt.
I think opportunities will come to the prepared mind and
yeah.
all that kind of stuff. So those are the kind of things, and I think I try to tell that to people. Definitely explore outside your comfort zone always.
Yeah.
And networking is huge. My wife is the chamber president, and she's done lots in this community. I think if we all have a responsibility to community too, and I think all people in the community need to be valued and appreciated and kind of like welcomed in. So being a young guy, how do you think Kelowna's treating its young people?
That's a big question.
Mm-hmm.
I think with respect to opportunity, it is there, depending on what you're looking for. You know, myself in tech, I'm actually finding myself in an interesting position where project and operations management, you know, producer roles, product management oriented roles where my skill set lies. The Kelowna startup community, a lot of the organizations that are currently here and that are starting to thrive aren't at the position where they need people like me yet. If you're a developer, if you're a coder and you speak the right languages, you'll be fine. Employment in Kelowna is great. But with respect to the bigger level of how the city is kind of treating, I will always be an advocate for having a bigger voice for the younger generations. I think it's however we see to it. I think your organization is doing a great job in starting to share a broad voice and a broad series of perspectives, which I think is really, really valuable. If you start to get into the more economical impacts, like Kelowna's cost of living is incredibly high, and being a more university and college oriented town, it's almost impossible for people to younger generations to get the wage that they need to be able to sustain themselves in Kelowna. And I think that we need to get there. And that might otherwise not be a City of Kelowna thing. It might be an employment related thing. I'm not entirely sure. But it's very, very difficult to keep yourself kind of upright and breathing in a more sustainable environment at a younger age without that level of experience that you need for higher level roles and therefore higher paid roles that can keep yourself afloat. So yeah, I think it's tough, but it's that's a bit of a broad question, but I feel like in with these coming organizations that are around, and the younger generation being very in touch with social media, and everyone getting that sort of quote unquote training of my voice is in my pocket at all times. I have that voice. Don't be afraid to express it. I think that that's really, really important. And also being ensuring it's being targeted to the right people who will listen and have the level of influence that they need to have in order to make change. And that can be some of the local city leaders that are in the area. So, yeah, I think it's that doesn't directly answer your question. I apologize.
But, no, that's okay.
But yeah, I think it's we're getting there. I think it's Kelowna is a smaller town wanting to be a big town.
It's definitely a small town with big city amenities.
Exactly.
I think the amenities are coming, and I think, you know, obviously the location is very desirable for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely finding that blend of, obviously, housing is a tougher challenge for a lot of younger people, and especially with what the Canadian government did with some of the rules on getting into homes. And then, you know, like they can't develop fast enough here too. So.
Right.
But how do you think, like, the college and the university, we're pretty lucky to have both of them here now, and both of them offering degree programs, which is amazing. We have some pretty good high schools here, too. OKM just put in a theater, too. Like, you're an OKM grad.
I am, and I'm a huge, I do, at a very minor level, some, professional acting as well.
Oh,
so if I knew, or if I had back in the day, I would have been the happiest man in the world. But we unfortunately didn't have the most... the largest of drama programs at the time, but I was in the music program. So
I like it that some of the high schools are kind of like specializing in, like, Rutland does like the BCIT programs for tech people that want to kind of do that, and then OKM is kind of in the drama and the arts and stuff like that. And there's a couple of private schools that work on a couple of different things, and some have really KSS a really strong sports program and stuff like that. So I think that's kind of cool, and that we can kind of like put your kids wherever you want to put your kids too. So any kids yet? Any plans or
plans at some point? Yeah. But at this point, I think it's turning the next chapter with my partner once she defends her master's and finds where the work is.
Right.
I'm in a very fortunate position where I can work remotely, and my director and my CEO have been very communicative and saying, "Great, if you need to move for whatever reason, like obviously you can still, as long as you got an internet connection, you'll be fine."
Mm-hmm.
I just got back a week ago from Mexico for my sister's wedding, and worked 2-3 days in the week and a half that I was away because I had Wi-Fi. So that being very fortunate in that sense, so that's great. But yeah, we'll see at some point in the future.
What's the biggest challenge you've faced so far in your career, your life here in Kelowna?
Whoa, big question. The biggest challenge. I think the biggest challenge was not knowing, like, you know, you asked me the question about what would I say to the younger.
Mm-hmm.
If I had implemented those practices when I was younger, I think I would be farther along than I am now. I'm in a very fortunate position. I'm very grateful for the skill set that I have. But at the same time, this is more of a personal thing, but I put in a large amount of pressure on myself. So I look at where I am and I go, okay, what's the next thing? How do I continue to grow in my skill sets? How do I continue to do that? So not being afraid to get being comfortable, like you said, being comfortable with discomfort at a younger age, even right outside of high school, and starting to understand, okay, how do I get my name out there, and how do I start meeting the right people, and those sorts of things. Those opportunities, I think, can be really, really large. So that would be a really, really big challenge. And the other one from a Disney perspective is also the understanding the culture changes of the different organizations that I've worked at. I mean, the Disney culture and the teams that I got very fortunate to work on when I was there can't necessarily be replicated. And that was a big challenge for me, is going from a big company of hundreds and hundreds of people to down to sometimes a team of 12 or even less than that.
Completely different, yeah.
It's way different. And that was in itself a large challenge for me. And it was more of a personal thing where I said, I really have to think of this as a culture shift. This is a mentality shift, that it's not the organization that I was a part of previously. And now I have to think about how I can respond and grow the culture within the organization that I'm a part of. And it's different every time. So those are big challenges for sure. Those would be big ones for me.
What scares you right now in the world? Like, what's got you kind of like worried?
In general?
Yeah, in general, like for you and your partner. Like, where do you see the fear coming into your... when you look out 10 years, 20 years, stuff like that.
Being able to financially sustain ourselves while wanting to raise a family, should we cross that bridge, is very scary. And I think that that's... I think that's going to take a lot of time and some significant change and patience for many, many different individuals. But yeah, that's a scary thing. As I said, like, I put pressure on myself. So that's something that I think about probably more than I care to admit, of like, well, here's the age I'm at now, and I want to have kids. You know, my sister's 2 years older than me, and she's thinking about having kids. So I said, all right, well, is that my window? Am I 2 years or 2 years away? And what do I want to do in 2 years? But yeah, that's scary, is being able to financially support two individuals plus a number of kids, one kid, two kids, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. It's starting to become very, very difficult.
You seem very driven. How do you answer people that kind of like slag your generation and say, lazy, no drive, and all this kind of stuff? And how do you answer that? And I'm sure you've seen the jokes on the internet and stuff like
that. Oh yeah, absolutely. I've probably made a few. The thing is, I think you can point at any generation and you can say that people are lazy and people don't have drive and what have you. They're always going to be there.
I've lived it.
Yeah.
In my generation, as much hippies.
Right.
I was one of them.
Right. And what it comes down to is, we're in this technological era where people have access to, as I said before, I mean, they've got access to their, so to speak, like little digital soapboxes of mm-hmm. Twitter and their social media. So my generation's voices are getting louder. And as a result of that, more people are listening, either whether or not they want to or don't want to. They're getting mm-hmm. exposed to it, videos and tweets and whatever it might be. And as a result of that, I think people are then responding to it thinking, these are lazy people that are self-entitled and not doing anything about it. But I would challenge that and say, you're probably just not looking hard enough. I think you're looking at the surface level of everyone saying whatever they want. But if you start to dig a little bit deeper, your generation, my generation, what have you, you're always going to find those people that are like, I'm not done yet. And I think that we're wanting to continue to grow and push and teach younger audiences some ways in which we can improve. If I can eventually find myself in a position in which I'm teaching, I'd be a really happy human. I would love to teach. And if I could teach younger generations about business, about coaching, mentorship, leadership, whatever, I think that would be a great
So what are your big values? Like, what are the values you'd like to, if you want to teach, what are the values you'd like to impart on other people?
Mindfulness would be a huge value. I've been, as I said, I raised by a single mom. My mom's now been sober for coming up for about 10 years, and she found Buddhism. And my sister and myself learned so many Buddhist practices about mindfulness and meditation. And I don't meditate nearly as much as I should, but my mom has been subtly promoting Buddhism to me every Christmas. I'll get like a book on mindfulness or a how to meditate right. book. And I go, Mom, I get the message. But I think that would be a really, really big one.
Congrats to your mom, by the way, raising what looks like a very upstanding
thank
young man.
Thank you. So. Oh, that truly means a lot to me. I really appreciate that. And she's one of my heroes, and we were raised in a feminist family, and it's been such a wonderful experience. And I like to think I'm a much more well-rounded, stronger person as a result of it. But mindfulness would be huge. I think I managed at Disney people that were within my generation, but maybe a little bit younger, mm-hmm. that just get hit with waves of anxiety and nervousness and all these sorts of things. And at times that's because you get really attached to your social devices and those sorts mm-hmm. of things. I know it's ironic that we're doing a podcast right now and I'm saying this, but what I mean, and I'm a huge podcast advocate and what have you, but that's what I mean about being mindful and being present in the moment. We are running into, and I am actively, even in my day and age, I'm actively trying to ensure that I'm taking a step away from technology and the screens every once in a while and establishing connections with those that really are important to me. Yeah. That could be childhood friends, it could be family or what have you, of really just making eye contact with them and being mindful and being present and understanding what's most important.
Yeah, I like to say be in the moment. Because if you're with your partner, be in the moment.
Yeah.
And if you're at work, leave the device alone, be in the moment.
Without
wherever
a doubt.
You are, be in the moment, right?
Yeah.
So, and I think if you do that and try not to be in three different moments at the same time,
yeah.
you'll find that multitasking doesn't really work. So
without a doubt,
if you stay in the moment, then everybody will be happier.
Without right? a doubt. Sure. I had a coffee with a friend of mine not too long ago, and we got together, and it felt like 60% of the time that we were together was just them scrolling through their phone on, mm-hmm. on Instagram, showing me funny pictures and videos. And I went, well, I can do this on my own time. Like, I don't need,
I've seen
need
that.
This.
You see some people sitting, not just young people. You
yeah.
see people sitting at a table, and there'll be like five of them all on their phones.
That's
like,
right.
And my joke is, are they texting each other?
Exactly. What's the point here? Like,
why did you get together, right?
Exactly. Why are you getting together? And then they'll leave and go like, yeah, we had a good time. I go, do you know if you had a good time? Like, did you ask that person how they're doing? And
let's talk about that the phone that's kind of changed the world. It's one of the biggest disruptors that we've seen in the world, because that device, Steve Jobs created the iPhone, which is kind of really when that disruptive technology took hold.
Yeah.
Because it's replaced tons of different things, and I don't want to name all the things, but like, who has an answering machine? Who wakes up to an alarm clock?
Right.
Who has a phone book? You know, who, and a whole bunch of things that can be kind of talked about. And you get your news, you get everything you want on that device. It has become part of everybody's life for mm-hmm. sure. And I guess it is trying to figure out how much of your life do you want it to control you, or do you want to control the
right.
information that comes out of the device, right? So that's the choice most people can make. And I've seen too many people get consumed by the device, where the device has become, they become a slave to the device as opposed to using it as a tool.
Yeah.
And what advice would you have to anybody that's kind of, do you say anything to your buddies when they're just kind of like overly consumed with something?
Yeah, I might poke fun if it's, if it's, you know, I, since I've been here my whole life, I've been very fortunate that some of my childhood friends are here. But I would expect the same. I would expect mm-hmm. them to call me out in those situations. But I want to do the best I can without being too preachy of just leading by example, in a sense mm-hmm. of I just want to make sure that I'm behaving the way that I want to behave, and I want others to reciprocate it, hopefully, but I can't control other people's actions. When it comes to going for beers or whatever with some friends of mine, like I won't touch my phone for the time that we're together, or at least try to for as long as I can, and that's just to be present and be in the moment for those individuals.
I find the device has a ton of power too in connecting people that never would have got connected before. I've made a ton of connections. Is there any favorite platforms that you use or that you like?
The only one I use is LinkedIn, actually. I don't have social media otherwise. I haven't had it for about 3 years, something like that. And again, it was just a conscious choice. I know there's a lot of people, it's funny when you say that, people make it sound like you're kicking heroin. You go like, oh, I'm off social media. Oh, good for you. And I go, what? But my justification is really, again, it just came from a personal choice, is I didn't like the person that I was when I was on social media. Mm-hmm. And to a degree, LinkedIn as well. But with respect to, you know, Facebook and what have you, I never had Twitter. But I had Facebook for a while, and I didn't like, going back to me putting pressure on myself, I didn't like the kind of competitive person that I know I am, and always wanting to grow and always wanting to be successful.
I think those counts kind of like mess with people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think they mess with people, and I think those vanity counts are a tough thing. And I know that some people make money off those those vanity counts and stuff
The
like
influencers.
That. Yeah, I think that's kind of like messed a few people up. But I think if you use it as to the positive side, we're connecting with people and stuff.
Yeah.
I think it becomes a lot easier
instead
of, you know, being driven by some of those numbers. And I think I like that Instagram kind of hid some of the numbers, but they should hide more of them.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So I think that would help. I'm a big fan of LinkedIn. I think it's a great place to connect to other businesses. And I think it only helps our community. Do you know what I mean? Like if we use it the right way again.
Yeah. It depends on the message that you want to send.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think it's a good sharing kind of place to share knowledge, because a lot of people in business don't have all the skill sets required when they start out. So you can ask questions, you can ask somebody else, you know, like, hey, how'd you get through that and stuff like that. So I've met lots of good people like that, and I think that I'm still a big fan of Instagram. I like Instagram. I think I like it for the photos and kind of connects you with a few people in your kind of your group, the photos in there.
Yeah.
I don't use Facebook a ton. I mean, I have it for when, you know, I used it probably more so when I was younger, kind of for putting up albums to share with families and stuff like that. But,
and now it's apparently, everyone's telling me that it's the Facebook Marketplace is one of the driving, like,
well, I think it's definitely, people are using it a lot to share and sell and buy. And a lot of the young people around here, they're just like, I got it on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah. So, and I sold it in, you know, 20 minutes. Because for Kelowna specifically, and anyone, well, back, you know, some years ago or whenever I'm looking for things, my brain still intrinsically goes to Castanet. And I go like, okay, I'm going to look for stuff on here. Mm-hmm. Everyone goes, oh, you're missing out. Facebook Marketplace, you would have bought that in half the time, or you would have sold that for double the money. I go, what? What
am I missing Facebook, out on? Castanet's kind of an aberration in this market, because usually in most of the candidates, Kijiji, Craigslist, or, you know, Facebook Marketplace now and stuff like that. So, yeah, I know Facebook has kind of taken over in that buy-sell world, although Amazon as well and stuff like that. So lots of places to find stuff for sure. How do you like, when we talk about Amazon, how do you support the local community? Are you a big fan of support local, or are you into buying it as cheap as you can get it?
I guess I'm a bit of both, if I'm honest. I'm not going to I won't sit here and lie and say like, yeah, I'm always going to look for the local people. I sometimes mix and match if I'm honest, but I really like going to, local farmers markets and things mm-hmm. like that are sometimes a really good way in which you're promoting local businesses and things like that. A friend of mine operates a local coffee shop that started at a farmers market. And now he's doing incredibly well because of people that have the mentality of let's promote this local guy, mm-hmm. Which I think is great. It's Canoe Coffee, by the way.
I was going to guess it was Canoe Coffee.
Yeah. And he's just a wonderful work that is doing the right things. And my partner has a part-time job downtown at Functional where they bring in as many mm-hmm. local things as they can. Those are things that I really, really like. Speaking of the Innovation Center as well, I walked in there and there was I think it's every month they cycle through a new artist that's being, mm-hmm. and local coffee shops, I know Bean Scene does it as mm-hmm. well, where there's a new kind of artist that's being highlighted or what have you. Right. I walked in and bought a piece summer of last year, because I saw just something that really moved me and I thought was really great. And I went, oh, and she lives, I think she was in Vernon or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to her and said, yeah, I'd love to support you and do that. So it's downtown Kelowna is actually a really, really good place to just walk around. And I think you'd be surprised to see how many different places have this is locally, produced mm-hmm. locally or what have you, or at least in the area. That'd be really big. Going to the cheaper side, sometimes when it comes to the bigger purchases, if I'm looking for, if I'm looking for a cheap TV or something mm-hmm. like that, inevitably I'm still going to go to Amazon or what have you. I'm not at a place where I can afford the premium price to support the local people. I just economically I'm not there. Financially I'm not there. So if I'm going to find a cheaper price on Amazon in that sense, I will. I'll always try and make those conscious decisions and go downtown when I can and get the things that I can.
What's the road ahead look like for you?
I think it's going to be... I want to continue to hustle as hard as I can with my team at Player. I think what we're doing is really, really powerful. I think I have a great team of... I feel very, very fortunate to be learning from people of all different walks of life and various ages that all are coming together with a common goal, which is we have this organization that we know is successful and we are willing to put in the extra effort to ensure that it is. And that's something that really speaks to me. And I really, really value the team that I'm working with in that sense. So I want to continue to see it thrive. Look at some different revenue models and things like that and hopefully see ourselves to be successful in the next year, something like that. And then with respect to staying in Kelowna, what I always say to people, again, opportunity over choice, is if I have the right opportunity to be here, if my partner finds the right opportunity locally, I'll feel very, very fortunate to continue to be here. But who knows? I mean, if she works in molecular biology and biochemistry is what her master's is in.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So what does that job look like?
I have no idea. all I know is that it's going to
be... It's probably
going to
be really cool in the future.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be... I think where she's going to thrive is in a lab, obviously. Right. And, doing tests in behind a microscope is kind of where her comfort mm-hmm. her comfort zone is. But where that lands her is mm-hmm. really going to depend on where I'm going to go right. And where my next steps are. But if I can continue to have a foothold in Kelowna in some regard... I have some friends that don't plan on leaving here anytime soon. So I think a part of my heart is always going to be here. But depending on where I go for my next steps for opportunity remains to be seen. So we'll see.
We'll do a little quick fire here to sure. close it off.
Yeah.
Favorite place to dine for you and your partner?
Locally?
Yeah.
Our favorite place.
I know where you're going to get your coffee.
That's right. I really like Crafty Kitchen. Okay. Downtown is a really, really good
spot. Is there something you like there? Is there a special, like if somebody goes in there, should order this?
I think the menu cycles. So mm-hmm. depending on what I say, but I had a duck-based dish once, which was, I think, at the end of the summer last year, and it was astounding. It was so, so good. Anytime I've ever been there, I've never been disappointed is the yeah. long and short of it. And anytime, I always try something different. But yeah, Crafty mm-hmm. Kitchen is a really good choice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wine or beer? Partake in any of those? Or?
Yep, they've got. They always have rotating taps for beer. Wine, I'm sure it's the same. But sometimes when I'm looking for various beer choices, I've only been there a couple times, but I've been really impressed. Is Rustic Reel, the brewery out there? Yeah, you're nodding your head. Yeah, you know what's up.
He's talking to our producer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. it's great. I mean, it's overall, I think it was a garage or something like that they made over to be this brewery. But I really like the vibe there. Every single person behind the counter has always been super kind and super friendly. And I haven't had a bad beer there either. So for beer, that's usually my choice.
You get friends coming to town. Is there something that you got to show them or... Is there a hike or there's what do you guys do for fun?
I would definitely say hiking with my dog. I'd go to Bear Creek is usually a really good place to go. And then sometimes all the way down Lakeshore, I can't remember the name of it, Okanagan Mountain Park, I think right. It is. Yeah. I'll do that path as well. Way more aggressive. It's a little bit harder in Bear Creek for sure. I have a little corgi, so he doesn't, he's short legs.
What's Corgi's name?
His name's Oliver.
There you go. Yeah. And how'd you pick that name, Oliver?
I picked that
read
name.
Read that book?
No, I did, but I picked that name because I had a series of name choices, and then I was working at Disney at the time, and one of my friends reached out to me and said, I heard you're getting a puppy. Here are 50 names that I really, really like, and Oliver was on my list, and Oliver was on her list as well. And I said, you know what? I think it's written in the stars. So I picked him up from the States. He was in Southern Washington. I got him a few years ago now, and when I crossed the border security guy said, do you have anything to claim? And I said, yep, and I pointed to a puppy in my lap, and he said, what's his name? And I said, Oliver. And he just nodded and he goes, he looks like an Oliver. And I went, all right, I think I got it. I think I nailed it. Yeah. So yeah, people coming in from out of town, always something a little bit more active. I always say hit the lake. I mean, if you can, mm-hmm. if you find somebody, I would argue don't buy one yourself maybe, but if you can find somebody with a boat to hit the lake, then yeah, absolutely do it.
There's a money pit if you buy a boat.
Say again?
I said, there's a money pit if you buy a
yeah.
boat.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I have some friends that have experienced that themselves, and after a couple of years, like, oh, we're selling it. But I mean, even renting it or getting some jet skis out in the summer, I think it's really, really great.
Renting it with 5-6 guys, cheap.
Yeah.
You get to park it, leave it, yeah. walk away from it.
It's a great opportunity. Yeah. It's so, so fun.
Take that from a former boat owner.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, you've experienced it. Right. But yeah, absolutely. I think that would be those are some really good options. And again, I mean, depends. But the brewery district in Kelowna is getting big in mm-hmm. a hurry.
Craft brewing is huge. For
huge.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And for nothing but a good thing, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You like Rustic Reel, Redbird. There's so many places mm-hmm. that are down in that area.
And cidery is becoming huge.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that that's just wonderful to be able to walk around and try some different things out with some people that want to experience some mm-hmm. local stuff. It's fun.
Any questions or anything you want to add from yourself?
For you?
No, sure, in general, whatever you want.
Because I did have questions for you. Well, I wanted to know, I mean, I really like the message that you're doing this for this podcast of like the road and the next steps. And I was sort of asking that just before we started recording with respect to where you want to go with you and like what your goals are. I'm always interested in that. Like what are the next, for yourself and the organization, what are the next 2, 3, 5 years look like? Where do you want to take it?
I think we like what we do with the Now Media product, like yeah. Kelowna Now, I think. To me, I'd like to bring some trust back to media because I think media plays a big role in the community.
Right.
And I think people have kind of shut it out of their lives because it's so negative. So right. I think the mission of Kelowna Now is to kind of want you to bring it back in your life. Do you know what I mean? So that
yeah.
it's tells you where to get the next craft beer or whatever or poutine or burger, but also tells you what events are going on, but also gives you the news, but also talks about the news in a positive path forward as opposed to scaring you all the time. Right.
Without
so
a doubt.
That's what we try to do on a regular basis. So it'd be great if we could change media.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That'd be awesome. Right? And a lot of what we do is storytelling and podcasting is no different. We're sharing stories. We're telling your story. And I think that's the cool thing, right? Because we are all just a collection of stories. If you think about it, our memories, the shell that you walk around is your body. But yeah. inside, it's just, because if you're gone tomorrow, it's the memories that you've created with other people that
that's
they
right.
remember, right? So it's the stories really that are important.
Love it. That's really well said. I think we're on the cusp of Kelowna changing, and from somebody who's been here since 1990, mm-hmm. I've seen it and I'm living it, and I think it's wonderful. And I think you and your organization and the people that I've even met today are waving the banner of change. And on behalf of someone who's been in Kelowna for as long as I have, I thank you for that. I think it's wonderful, and I think you're doing nothing but a good thing.
No, thank you from the team, because it's definitely a team that does this.
Without a doubt.
And I think they all believe in what we do, so that's great. And I think that's the big thing, right? So,
excellent.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for coming in and sharing your road to Now.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye now. If you'd like to be part of this podcast, we'd love to share your story and your road to Now.